An estimated ₹500 million worth of damages have been caused to the historic Forte University following violent protests and arson. We get the backstory from Grant Abbott of the National Tertiary Education Union.
Cody from Paul has sold multiple vehicles to WeBuy Cars. Suspicious?
I think so.
Is that a crime?
No. Where are you getting the cars?
I buy them and I sell them at the spot like a normal person.
Okay.
No, man, I'm just an accounting student. I know a good deal when I see one.
That's Excel meant.
What's more stressful, tax season or selling a car at WeBuy Cars?
Tax season, obviously.
WeBuy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Welcome, Grant. Thank you for joining us again. The Minister of Higher Education, Buti Manamela, called the protests criminal. The VC said they were politically motivated to prevent the release of an SIU report implicating 33 high-ranking politicians in academic fraud. What is the backstory?
Good day, Chris, and thank you for having me once again. The good old Fort Hare, it's a long standing problem. As you know, we've been speaking a lot about it. You've been following the story there for a number of years. And I think that's important to understand something of the context of what is happening right now, is that it's not just suddenly something that's just sprung up out of nowhere. There's been a long history that you've reported on, that the media has reported on, that we've been directly involved in, all unfortunately under the tenure of this Vice Chancellor. But let me give you the more recent history, or the more recent context, is that there was, you would know, a peaceful protest of all stakeholders and community. It was a community protest where a memorandum was handed over to the university council, to the VC as well, to ask him to respond to a bunch of demands. I think we spoke about some of those demands in the last interview, to remember, when we also were on with the SRT president. The university took an absolutely, I would say, a terrible stance when they simply said, we're going to not respond to any of these demands. These are nonsense. And the VC said, I'm not responding to these things, which is typical for him, because he has long, his management style is to hold all stakeholders at arm's length and not to engage. So now, when you are dealing with community involvement, when you're dealing with stakeholders, when you're dealing with students who have legitimate demands, have legitimate concerns, and that's important to also note, because the portfolio committee chairperson was there yesterday and he noted that demands are completely legitimate. When they are legitimate and they are just summarily dismissed without any consideration or no response and no engagement, what do you think people are supposed to do next? And that's not to justify the destruction of buildings. That's not to justify 300 to 500 billion and a million, sorry, worth of damages. But it is to say, you know, you've got a leader of an institution who is supposed to be a strategic thinker, certainly for someone in that position, who has an exceptional educational background behind him. If he thinks more than 5 minutes, he must know that engagement is important to avoid escalation of matters. And that is one of the things for me that is so disheartening, is that he continues to just be this guy who just will not engage. He runs the university like it's his own private company. He thinks it's his own spaza shop, whatever it is, and he can do what he wants. And that is, that's just completely unacceptable. So,
Grant, sorry to interrupt you, but you and I have looked at a leaked report from the SIU, an investigation into the capture of the ICT department, and it concludes that the VC's response to that investigation amount to unlawful conduct or the unlawful appointment of somebody who had been implicated. Did I read that correctly?
You did read that correctly. That report somehow got leaked during the course of last week. We've subsequently learned, and it's public knowledge, that that report has been on the VC's desk for 3 weeks and is not acted on it. That the SIU met with him and were concerned about this individual that has subsequently been appointed. However, their concern was raised with him before the appointment happened. And he still went ahead and appointed that person. And we're not talking about 4 or 5 years ago. We're talking about 4 or 5 months ago. As in very recent, right in the middle of all of the corruption, he appoints someone who is implicated in the SIU report as being possibly corrupt, allegedly. He still, while he says he has a zero tolerance towards corruption and all of that, why would he go ahead and appoint someone like that anyway? You know, he has a history of surrounding himself, unfortunately, with dodgy characters. And we know that by the fact that all of the 24, 25 people who stand accused at the moment were all appointed while he was the vice chancellor. At some point, we have to say, where's the common denominator here? It's him. The common denominator is him. And there's that old adage, as you all know, the fish rots from the head down. And, well, that is 100% true. It couldn't be more true in the case of Fort Hare. So he's a terrible judge of character. And he really, honestly, shouldn't be in the position that he is.
Do you have that report in front of you? I thought you might just want to read that conclusion for us, where it deals with a VC in the words of a SIU investigator himself, rather than our words.
Yeah. So let me just quickly get there. The wording is that the appointment of this individual by the vice chancellor. This is in clause 11 of that report. My apologies. By the Vice Chancellor, upon having been warned of the ill conduct, is considered to be, is considered very arbitrary, capricious, malfide, and most of all, unlawful. That's the wording of the investigator. And then they go on to say that given the conduct of the Vice Chancellor that ultimately led to the appointment, that they are referring the matter to counsel for disciplinary action. Now, I mean, I yesterday emailed the institution and I said, well, at what point, I emailed the HR department and said, at what point are you going to take disciplinary action against the vice chancellor for this? You're saying that everyone mentioned in the SIU report, you're taking various disciplinary action in. And then just conveniently ignoring it when he's mentioned. And they conveniently ignored my email. They haven't replied to that. So, you know, it's a bit like Animal Farm. Some are more equal than others. We simply can't allow that in a democratic South Africa.
But the VC also has a history of just digging in his heels.
He doesn't look to reason. He doesn't listen to good counsel. It's like his way or the highway, and that's it, you know?
So what is the mood on the ground like now?
Very simply, it's that obviously there's great uncertainty around, is Fort Hare able to continue? Is it able to finish the academic project? And from our side, our members want the academic project to get back on track, the academic program for this year to get back on track. And students deserve that. They deserve to complete their year. But the mood is, and I can say this without fear of favor or contradiction, that from all angles, the way we see it is that there is not going to be real peace and stability at Fort Hare until Buhlungu is gone. And that is just the reality.
Now, Grant, Fort Hare is over 100 years old. 7 African presidents have been educated there. But it's become so tainted with assassination, corruption, academic fraud. How do you see its future?
Yeah, it's incredibly sad. As you say, the its history of raising exceptionally good leaders, it's just sad where it is now. I would think some of those leaders, Nelson Mandela and others, would almost be rolling in their grave seeing what is going on. The future for Fort Hare, there is a future for Fort Hare, but I have to say, it can't be with this vice chancellor in place. The future, a future for Fort Hare and a rebuilding for Fort Hare has to be with Adbuhlungu in place. And what we've called for, what we've said in a statement, is there must be a thorough independent investigation to determine what has happened right now, in terms of who are the criminal elements. When a building burns down, I agree with the minister, it's criminal. There are criminals. It's a criminal element involved there. But as is the case with the criminality happening at Fort Hare, every single case that comes up, somehow the vice chancellor's there. And you have to ask, well, we need to start asking what is going on with him. So a future with Fort Hare, not possible with him there, as we see it now.
What is the union's next steps, Grant?
So we're continuing to engage with the minister's office, continuing to engage with the portfolio committee. It's impossible for us to engage at the institutional level. They simply don't believe in consultations. You know, on the weekend, on Saturday, the minister outlined spoke about a plan to get the university back on track. And our honest position is that that plan can only succeed if stakeholders are consulted and are involved in the process. And by all accounts, history shows that they don't want to do that at the university. We agree that the minister must invoke the relevant sections in the Higher Education Act and appoint an independent assessor to investigate what is going on there. It is clear, not just from right now, but last 5, 6, 7 years of this VC's tenure, that there is gross irregularities and corruption going on. So we're continuing to advocate for that. It is difficult because every time I speak out, even like now, our members get targeted. There's something new that comes along. It's an incredibly difficult place to be in because you're caught between a rock and a hard place of wanting to defend members while also just being someone who being an organization that speaks truth to power. This has been the thing that I've constantly repeated on your show and others, is that we need people to stand up and start speaking. And we are so, in a way, glad that stakeholders, student organizations are taking up that mantra and saying, no more, you know, we have to start speaking truth, and more voices need to do that. So I want to encourage that to continue. So we're doing that from every angle that we can as a union, and we will continue to do so. We'll continue to be the thorn in the VC side and say you have to. And may I also say this, is that we actually wrote to him I penned a very collegial letter to him and said, VC, we have to speak about an exit. Not only just the fact that he's unable to do the job, the fact is his past retirement age. He's now in the position beyond what the institution itself allows. And he himself has said on that issue, yeah, we have a memo where we have seen where he has issued a notice to HR department back in 2022 that no one beyond 65 must be employed at the institution. Recently, a DVC who turned 65, her contract was terminated because she was put on retirement because she was 65. Where does he get the idea that he can continue to carry on after 65? It's hypocrisy, to be honest.
Wanting another term, regardless of the instability associated with it. Thank you. That was Grant Abbott, National Tertiary Education Union General Secretary speaking to BizNews. I'm Christine.